You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We're back here on the second guest show. Mike DeTillo, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight at 6:25. John Kincaid, who's now out in Philly and covering the world champion Philadelphia Eagles, will join us. Bobby and I knew for his days when he was in Atlanta.
Well, Mike, I was doing shows with him late 90s. I was like 25 years. Yeah. A quarter of a century.
And I was doing shows with him. He was with CBS on the weekend. He was their anchor guy on the weekend. So we'll have John on with us.
He always had a big knowledge of hockey.
Well, that he knows. Because he grew up in that area.
You know what I want to ask him? What's the difference between, Mike, because Philly's a big-time sports city. I think Eagles are still king. But what's the difference between, like, not a 76ers haven't won in a while. What about the Phillies winning the World Series or the Flyers winning the Stanley Cup versus the Eagles?
One thing for sure is, man, they got Phillies fans all over. And Mr. John Ferrucci, who's here, the CEO here of the Silver Slipper, he grew up a Phillies fan.
Yes.
Still is a Philadelphia Phillies fan.
And you know, Mike, you look at, like, I look at Chicago, Philadelphia. Even as good as the Cubs, and you look at Wrigley Field and all that, I still think, even if the Cubs, you know, it took them so long to win a World Series, it still ain't the Bears. I'm telling you, let the Bears get relevant like the Redskins, not the Redskins, the Commanders were this year, like next year. What if all of a sudden the Bears are relevant like Washington?
I didn't realize this until Coach Ditka told me this when he was here.
Not Michael Jordan, the Bulls.
No. He was like, Mike, okay, Jordan, that was great. And he said it was so much fun to watch considerably maybe the greatest player, or certainly in the conversation. If you don't think he's the greatest, he's certainly in the top two or three. But he said, when we won that Super Bowl, we became rock stars overnight. They did videos, and everything else.
It's a Super Bowl shuffle.
It's one of the things of the what ifs in life. I think about Jimmy Johnson and Jerry not being able to get along. How many more they could have won?
Well, that's not Jimmy Johnson's fault. That's the owner.
That's Jerry. But, if they could have kept Jim McMahon healthy.
Hold your point then. Man, I think I wanted to talk about this last hour. You know what I love about the Eagles kicking ass and Washington being truly relevant? That makes the Cowgirls irrelevant. So what is Dallas? Oh, we are a little better than the Giants? Mike,
ain't as good as the Commanders.
Exactly. They third banana in their own division. That's why I'm not anti-Eagles right now. And then I look where Washington's at, and Jerry Jones is like, that's what he's delusional. I don't know what's setting in. I heard him do an interview. Oh, we're right there. We're so close. What in the hell are you talking about?
Me. There's no way. And I'm disappointed we not playing on Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, well, yeah,
disappointed.
Disappointed. You got a ways to go. Listen.
You got a long ways to go.
The Cowgirls would have to get 8, 9, 10 more players to be on the Eagles level.
I would bet the over on eight, too.
They're not on that level. But it just goes to show you how society and culture, how we love American football. We love all sports in general. And like I said, you talk about Michael Jordan, and you look at the Bulls, you look at Philadelphia, the Flyers, even with Dr. J and the 76ers. Man. Look at the Phillies recently winning the World Series. But it's something about American football. It ain't nothing to me. Now, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. But, like, if you're from Philadelphia or you're a diehard Eagles fan and from Jersey and you support the Eagles of Pennsylvania, or are you around the Chicago, Illinois area, whatever, and you love the Bears? Even though you love the Bulls and you love the Cubs, it's still not the Bears or the Eagles. Football's king. Football's king, the bottom line, whether you want to accept that or not.
Bob Fesco, who covers the Chiefs from Kansas City, he was there when the Royals were winning
the World
Series. 70s into the 80s. George Brett, we remember him.
Yep.
And they were a really, really good baseball team. I mean, they were a crackerjack team. And he said with all that success, the Chiefs sort of wiped it out.
Oh, yeah.
Because
we love football.
Of football in the Midwest and that sort of thing. And he said, you got to go back 1970, okay, with Hank Stram and those
teams.
Yes, that's a long stretch.
Yeah, 50 years, a half a century before the Chiefs became relevant again. And boy, very patient. So now they're spoiled now. Kansas City Chiefs fans, I'll round a few of them. They're pretty good, but they're a little arrogant. They can, look, that's from winning. When you're winning, you get a little arrogant.
But they got humbled.
No, they got humbled yesterday. They wasn't no.
It's the same thing in Miami too. I think you think about it those days with Shula and the Dolphins, especially in the 70s when they had an unbelievable run,
only undefeated team ever.
And to think that too's a what if. What if the World Football League hadn't come into play and Zonka and Kick and Warfield signed with Memphis Southwind?
Yeah,
and that they could have been a team that three-peated.
Yeah. Because all of a sudden, Mike, they had all of a sudden establishing their team. They played in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. They got spanked by the Cowgirls 24-3.
But then the next 2 years.
And then they went undefeated. Remember, Billy Kim was with the Washington Redskins. George Allen, it was like 14-7.
And then they kicked the canoodle out of the Vikings.
Yes. So, no, that's when you look at dynasties. But it's hard when you look back then, like even the Steelers and all. You can keep the team together. Right now,
free agency changed the world.
Oh, no, you might have.
It changed the world.
At most, a handful of seasons because you can't pay everybody. So that three or four-year window. That's why the Ravens, if you're in Baltimore, the Ravens better do something now with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry now.
Think about it. In our lifetime, if I said the word Marvin Miller, people would say, who is that? He brought free agency to baseball in the Curt Flood situation.
Flood.
What he did was hit the first domino that actually kind of touched one another because he brought free agency to baseball, and then it became free agency in basketball, and then you had a big part.
Yes, a free agency in the NFL.
Free agency in the NFL.
Yeah, 1991.
But without Marvin Miller there, he was the first.
Well, the thing is, I think we all capitalists, or majority of us in the United States. If you're a capitalist, how can somebody own you if you don't have a contract? Now, you might say, well, it's not good for the fans. I don't know. Everybody likes money. If that's you or your kid or somebody associated with you, don't you want the best to make a living?
But look how the
it's entertainment. It's not like the plumber. We need to pay the we pay the plumbers a bunch of money, but civil servants, you look at the firemen and all that, teachers, we got to get more money. But that's like all of a sudden, how can you justify Frank Sinatra or Mick Jagger? You're giving them $1 million a concert for 1 hour or whatever. I mean, it's entertainment. That's what football is right now.
Think about the money that somebody has to pay to get Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks to do a movie. It doesn't matter if it's if it's a hit or not. You know, he's still getting paid. He's still getting paid and points off the movie.
But I'm telling you right now, Mike, you know what would be a baseball city? that would take it over football because they feel like they've been abandoned by their teams would be St. Louis.
I agree.
Because Bidwell took the Cardinals to Phoenix and Arizona.
And the Rams.
And the Rams.
Georgia Frontier and that group.
And they won a Super Bowl in St. Louis. And then they left and go to L.A. That was the only one that the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team is king.
Boy, you go to St. Louis and the Cardinals on front page of the paper, and it's every day.
Not
just during the baseball season, in the offseason, too.
And then you go to a game in the middle of the summer, and there's about 50-some thousand people at a baseball game. You know, but our major league team is the LSU Fighting Tigers. Our baseball,
I agree.
I hope Tulane and UNO do well in baseball. That's good for the state. But our Major League Baseball team, and Mike, the coach knows that.
Jay Johnson, I told him my neighbor has this deal. There's only two seasons in Louisiana. Football season, baseball season.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else, that's beside the point.
Now we want LSU in the final 12. What you got to do for LSU baseball? Damn it, you got to get to Omaha. Now, you want to win a national championship. But, Mike, well, then the expectations? Come on, we got to somehow end up in Omaha. And, you know, Omaha loves that, all the money we spend.
Oh, yeah, they sure party hardy there. We'll be back. John Kincaid will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on the second guest show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, host at 97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia, John Kincaid. John has connected Bobby and I from a long ways back. John, thanks so much for joining us and congratulations. I know you're a guy, Philly, close to your heart, but world champions, brother.
City of champions once again, and your city had something to do with it. And once again, my favorite Super Bowl city of all time, no question, no contest, is New Orleans. Always a great time, and once again, did a spectacular hosting job.
You know, John, I don't know. I think we like convenience. I mean, you're going to go to Santa Clara next year, and wherever it might be then. Even in Atlanta, I remember Super Bowls in Atlanta when I was there. You might have to go to Buckhead, whatever. You still got to drive 25, 30 miles, where in New Orleans you can walk. Now, it might be a long walk. You can get your steps in. You know, everybody's worried about how many steps they got in a day. But you definitely can, the walking distance, like in Indianapolis, got a lot of hotel rooms, it's convenient. But come on, you can't compare Indianapolis to New Orleans, the most European city. And, John, you'll like this. Tennessee Williams. I like journalists, like writers. Tennessee Williams said there's only three great cities in the United States: New York, San Francisco, and New Orleans. And I think it'd have to be the culture and the melting pot that New Orleans is that Tennessee Williams would make that statement.
Well, the hospitality, Bobby, was spectacular. It's not like our days back up in Alpharetta. You know, great hospitality. My favorite seafood restaurant in the entire country, GW Finn's, and I took my whole team out to dinner the other night, and we went out there, and they had never been there, and we had a great, great time. And it was just awesome. And the Super Bowl just sort of tipped it off, too. I love the fact, though, what you said. Got an Uber at the airport, and we were there. And then we only took an Uber each day to the convention center for Radio Row back and forth. But other than that, we were walking from our hotel and strolling the town and found a lot of new spots to drop in, hang out, have a little something to eat or have something to drink. It was a great, great time.
John, I think one of the stories behind the story is, you know, early in the season, some struggles a little bit in Philly and the Nick Sirianni. You know, I know in your program, man, sure. You know, more than half the people, oh, he got to go. He's the reason why this team is 2-2. He got to go. But, man, what a resurrection for Nick Sirianni through all of this. And he is who he is. He's a unique personality as a head coach. And some of the stuff he does, I shake my head about, because when they played the Saints, he passed up like 3 field goals to go for it on 4th down. He does things unconventional. That's the way he is. But now he's a Super Bowl champ.
He is. And Mike, the big thing was, it wasn't the 2-2 start that was the problem. It was the 1-6 collapse last year from when they were 10-1. I mean, when they were 10-1, coming off of a Super Bowl the year before, everybody thought, well, we're going back to the Super Bowl. And then that collapse happened. And it really happened because of absolutely incompetent offensive and defensive coordinators. And because they had played in the Super Bowl the year before, they lost both coordinators. They're the only Super Bowl team, by the way, that lost both coordinators ever, that, you know, you had to replace them both. And since it was already deep into the hiring cycle, they had to go and get guys off the rack. You know, they're shopping at Walmart instead of being able to shop at, you know, at Nordstrom to be able to find out what they want. And so they ended up with guys that weren't prepared for the job. And then they were able to correct that this offseason with Vic Fangio coming in, who was just absolutely a godsend. And then a man you guys are going to get to know well in Kellen Moore. The level of maturity, the level of control, the level of professionalism jumped through the roof from Brian Johnson the year before and Sean Desai.
That, I was going to ask you about that, John, about Kellen Moore, because, I mean, every indication is it's just a matter of time before he becomes the head coach with the Saints. And so a little bit of a background and you having dealings with and watched him. I think the biggest transformation with Kellen, he was known as a pass-happy coach. If it was in Dallas or if it was with the Chargers, he saw the talent in Philly's. Wait a minute, man, that offensive line and Saquon Barkley and also Jalen, who plays a big part in the running game, he adapted his system to the talent on hand.
Well, I think that was good. And Mike, that definitely became part of it. But I think also is that if you remember in his early years in Dallas, you know, he was an OC for 5 different seasons before he came here to Philly and wins the Super Bowl last night. In his early years in Dallas, they were using the 2-headed monster and they were really running the ball and then establishing the pass off of it. And then that sort of went by the wayside, and he did become a little more pass happy later in his tenure in Dallas. And absolutely with Justin Herbert, not to be confused with A. Bear, that other great quarterback we knew back in the day. Justin Herbert, I think he was having him throw too much at times. He learned that the offensive linemen of the Eagles at the bye week at 2-2 went into Nick Sirianni's office and said, look, we're the strength of this team. We're also the leaders of this team. And we think we should be leading more with our best punch. And the minute they started to do that, it opened up the passing game. It opened up the running game. Time of possession changed. And this team took off. I mean, the only game that after the bye week that they lost was one that Jalen Hurts got knocked out of with a concussion. And he was up 14-0 6 minutes into the game at Washington. So, you know, really the Eagles could have been on a rampage to win the Super Bowl where they didn't lose at all since their bye week at the end of September.
I always look at the numbers, and I'm like, the Philly fans appreciate this because it was kind of like, struck by lightning or flash in the pan. You look at Nick Foles. That's sure. A fantasy, how he was able to win that championship. But this championship's like, well, hell yeah, we can build upon this. I'm a big Jalen Hurts fan. I think he's unbelievable. How he's handled adversity at Alabama, Oklahoma, you look what he's done. And whether you want to look, Pat Mahomes, not so fast. You're not the GOAT. You're not by Tom Brady yet. Now he has still has a lot of years left in his career. And doesn't mean he can't really bounce back. But I'm looking at two Super Bowl games when they went head to head. Again, looking at these numbers. I don't know, Jalen Hurts had 667 yards, total yards from scrimmage. Pat Mahomes had 488. I don't know, that's a big difference. I mean, to me, unless when he fumbled and then they scooped and scored. Other than that, a very entertaining Super Bowl, 38-35. The Eagles lose last minute field goal. But Pat Mahomes ain't outplayed Jalen Hurts.
He hasn't outplayed him. He hasn't outplayed them either time in the Super Bowl. And Bobby, he didn't outplay him last year. Jalen Hurts went in, even in the year that they ended up struggling and going 11-6, which was struggling for them. He beat Pat Mahomes on Monday Night Football in Arrowhead. Jalen Hurts has been the better quarterback when he's gone head-to-head with Pat Mahomes. And it's weird. I was doing it this morning because I really got tired of a lot of the narratives, a lot of the national guys last week. I think we're spending too much time on Bourbon Street and not enough time doing research because they're talking about, can Jalen Hurts be considered with the elite quarterbacks? Jalen Hurts has went in and skunked Lamar Jackson, who a lot of people think should have been the MVP. Lamar, just last November, he dueled throw for throw and beat Josh Allen. He is a guy that has gone out there, and Matthew Stafford can't beat him. Jordan Love can't beat him. He went into Cincinnati this year and beat Joe Burrow, a guy that you guys know and love very well down there. Every time he faces big quarterbacks, he's usually walking off the field winner or having played better than the guy. I think he's totally disrespected, and he is as cool a customer as they come. And 4 years as a starter, a true starter, four complete seasons, to have two Super Bowls under your belt, one championship, and all the accomplishments that he is, the sky's the limit. He's 26 years old.
KK, with a look at this, Steve Geller, our sports director, he's from Jersey. He loves the Eagles, but he's one of those.
That.
Yeah, and he's he was all nervous. I go, no, I'm telling you, the Eagles are they kicking their ass. He's like, oh, no, it ain't over. I go, no, it's 24-0. There ain't no way. Because I'm watching Jalen Hurts. He's letting the clock go down to 3-2-1. They're not going to, even if Mahomes plays unbelievable, they're not going to have enough time to come back. It's not going to be like what happened in Atlanta, New England, with Shanahan, who wanted to crush Tom Brady and Belichick. No, once Julio Jones caught that pass, how about you just run the ball every play? And they don't have enough time to come back. So I was trying to tell Steve, even when you were familiar with this. He was so damn worried about the Jake Elliott, the kicker. Oh, I don't know. I hope he can make his kicks. And he was just 1 of 8 on kicks from at least 50 yards. But here he is. He makes 2 at 48, 1 at 50 yards. I know the stars are aligned. The kicker is straight and true. So he got a little easy after he saw all of a sudden that Jake Elliott even stepping up on the biggest stage.
Well, Bobby, you got to understand something. Up here, where now I'm being home in my hometown now, I see it a lot more. Is we were raised by a generation of parents, and I'm sure he was too, that thought the sky was falling, that never saw the Eagles win a Super Bowl, and always thought it was going to be Charlie Brown and Lucy was about to yank the football out from under them. The kids nowadays being raised up here are now being raised, and I call them the spoiled brats on the air, because since Andy Reid arrived in 1999, this franchise has turned in 25 seasons, and they've gone to numerous Super Bowls, and now they've won a couple, and they win the division very often. There are very few times do they ever fall out of contention. It's a totally different thing, and it's something to re-educate the fan base up here to say, enough of the underdog crap. You're not underdogs. You now have a talented team, and you're the better team. All last week, we had guests stop by on Radio Row, and we had Steve Weish, we had Kurt Warner, we had Matt Ryan on the phone from back in Atlanta, checked in with Matt. And every one of them, when I told them how confident I was that the Eagles were going to beat the Chiefs, they were all like, "You're that confident?" And I said, "Yeah, because all I'm hearing from people is, well, they have Mahomes and Andy Reid." Well, I said, well, okay, I'll take the team with the better running back, the better wide receivers, the better offensive line, the better defensive front, the better secondary. I didn't understand the talking point because last time I saw Big Red isn't out there doing anything. He's just strategizing. And if you don't have players, you can have all the strategy and scheme you want. You aren't winning. And I thought for sure the Eagles were winning this game. And I enjoyed yesterday so much. It was amazing. I think it was the best game the Philadelphia Eagles franchise has ever played on the biggest stage against the biggest opponent they possibly could, which really bodes well for the future because that's the youngest defense in the NFL, youngest by age.
And you know, when you think about it, is that, okay, can you handle the pressure and what all is going to come about? I mean, it looks like, you know, who was overwhelmed was Pat Mahomes. Didn't he look shaky? And let me tell you, you know what's the craziest thing? This is coming from, you know, playing with the Saints, playing with Atlanta, playing quarterback. There's nothing worse, I'm telling you, as a quarterback, even if you know what you're doing, is when they're rushing only four and it feels like a damn blitz. Then all of a sudden, I'm looking at the coverage because now you got seven, maybe eight guys in coverage. They're rushing three or four. No, and it's like they're bringing six. They're bringing cover zero all out, and you got to get rid of the ball. And it's time to throw. Pat Mahomes looked like he was out and out cover zero. They were blitzing, and it was only a lot of times four-man rush and all of a sudden being disruptive. I know as playing NFL pass rush, playing behind that, I never forget. I have won 20 straight games against AFC opponent. We played Bruce Smith, Biscuit, Cornelius Bennett, the whole group with the Bills. They, when they were going to the Super Bowl, they weren't winning. I never forget with the Saints. And all of a sudden, it's like 1,001, 1,000. You better get rid of that. I know they play cover two man, and I can't run around like Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson. Ain't nobody open. I mean, I know where to go with the ball if they open. Ain't nobody open.
42 dropbacks last night for Patrick Mahomes. He was not blitzed once. 0 for 42. And Vic Fangio never threw a blitz at him. It was the sixth time in Super Bowl history that's happened. And every one of those quarterbacks lost. And Bobby, you know it because you played in Atlanta and you played in New Orleans and they never put a good offensive line, enough good offensive line in front of you that unless you have, I would love to have seen young Bobby Hebert behind that Eagles offensive line and see what you could have done because there are many weeks where Jalen Hurts, they don't even have to wash his jersey. And Detillier knows is all Howie Roseman does is shop in the SEC. He says, oh, I'll go to Ole Miss, and I'll go to Georgia and steal five guys from their defense, and I'll go to Alabama and get skill player. Oh, I need an offensive lineman and a wide receiver. He knows how to shop in the SEC. I mean, and the Eagles have taken a formula and just built upon it, and it's been really, really successful.
John, would you bring up, and you and I have had this conversation in the past.
Sure.
When you go to an LSU game in that press box, there's not one Eagle scout there. There are two. They watching SEC players. And you think about this year's draft class, because people here were, let the Saints tank to get an earlier pick. It's not where you pick. It's who you pick. Look where the Eagles picked in this draft class. They got a starting corner and a good one in Quinyon Mitchell. Then they trade up in round two.
Back to
and they
back.
Get Cooper DeJean.
Back to back.
And what he's done. That to me goes to show the brilliance of Howie Roseman of being able to move the football chess pieces. None of those two guys are SEC players, but boy, they can play. But I told you that before. Every time I'd always look at that sheet and they'd have two scouts from the Eagles in that LSU press box watching SEC play.
And the brilliance of it, though, Mike, is that he sat at 16 last year. to get Quinyon Mitchell. And I knew that my internal intelligence had told me Quinyon Mitchell was going to be one of two targets they were after. And so as Quinyon Mitchell became available at 12, 13, 14, I'm sitting watching the draft going, Howie, trade up, go get him, go get him. And he just sat there and he waited out. And afterwards, I asked the questions and said, you know, why are they not moving up to get the guy they want? And they do so much internal intelligence of studying what other franchises tend to do and where they may be leaning. He felt he didn't have to. And then he did it again with Cooper DeJean, but only moved up to 40 to get him. He waited. He could have jumped up at 36. 37. He waited it out till the perfect opportunity and did it. And he traded with Washington to get him, which is crazy, you know, within the division. Roseman is a wizard. He really is. And his capology is the big deal. I mean, they manage the salary cap amazingly well. And this team's going to be a problem for a while because they're young, and they're a good cap situation.
You know, you look at the draft, but then how about hit the lottery? With Saquon. Come on.
Oh, my God.
And you know, it's a double whammy because in the division, screw the Giants. I mean, and they look at Saquon. Okay, the Chiefs, Spags, and all might say, well, he ain't Barkley, Saquon ain't going to run against us. And then who would have thought that Saquon Barkley, 57 yards rushing, that Jalen Hurts, back-to-back Super Bowl games, over 70 yards. He had more rushing yards. But it's by committee, whatever. But look at Saquon Barkley. I think... Without Saquon Barkley, I don't know if the Eagles get where they were this year. Well, what is your take on that?
They do.
With 2,000 yards.
No,
what do you think with that? If they had the other running backs, I don't think either.
Yeah, and last night, Saquon Barkley took more hits last night, guys, in that game than I saw him take in all season long. I mean, they were gang tackling him. Two, three guys laying the lumber to him every single time he carried it. But what it did is it set up the wide receivers to be in one-on-one coverage. You can't cover everybody. And it turned out to be a great reason for success yesterday.
John, thanks so much for joining us. Great hearing
guys,
your voice again.
It's a pleasure, and I hope God bless you run well.
And John, I have one more thing before we let you run. God, I wanted to ask you this earlier. I know the Eagles got to be king. I think it's like in Chicago, like the Bears. I don't care if the Phillies win a World Series or the Flyers win the Stanley Cup, and obviously Dr. J's 76ers. But the Eagles are still king, right? I think American football's king, like in Chicago, even if the Cubs, whatever. What's your take on that?
There's nothing like Philadelphia Eagles. It's an indoctrination up here, Bobby. And wait till you see Friday when you're going to see like 2.2 to 2.5 million people in the streets on Friday.
For
a Valentine's Day parade. It's going to be wild. And I'm crossing off a career bucket list. I always wanted to broadcast from a parade, and I'm going to get to do it on Friday. I feel like a very blessed man.
That's awesome.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thank you, John.
See you soon. Take care, man.
All right.
All righty. John Kincaid, who's on 95.7,
football's
the Fanatic
king. Mike,
in Philadelphia.
Football's king.
Always going to be king, and I know in our lifetime it will be. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We went a little bit long with John Kincaid, but he was always been a great guest and guy we've known for a long time. So I'll throw it right back to Charlie. We'll take a break and come right back with Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to David in Slidell. David, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, good evening. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Dave.
All right,
thank
David.
Hey, quick question for you. Going back to when our New Orleans Saints won their Super Bowl. Question is, with the talent that Saints team had on both sides of the football, I remember that year when they won, that the following year that Super Bowl was in New Orleans. But I know that some things have happened, but had none of that happened, do you think the Saints had the talent to be the first team to do a three-peat?
No.
What I think would have happened is you won in 2009. But the 2010 season, man, you were really kind of clipped with injuries, especially in the backfield.
We got spanked by the Colts.
No, Seattle. You went to Seattle.
Yeah. No, I mean the first game of the year. Did we play the Colts?
But 2011,
we're the best
to me,
team ever.
Always sticks in my mind. That was the best team I'd ever seen. You tsunamied people offensively.
The new greatest show on turf.
Then you go to San Francisco in a crazy game. Absolutely crazy game where the lead changed hands four times.
Well, Mike,
so you could have won in 09 and 11.
Yeah. Another
2010,
one. David, no. We would have won. We would have lost. And what it could have, should have, we should have won again. So win, lose, win. So it's not a three-peat. That game in San Francisco, I'm telling you, is the greatest Saints season ever, 2011. We had five turnovers. We're in San Francisco.
No Pierre Thomas. Remember, he gets knocked out
at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
And we lose about 17 points. We have five turnovers. We take the lead twice under 5 minutes. Remember Darren Sproles, Jimmy Graham. And then I'll tell you, Greg Williams, he's having confidence in Malcolm Jenkins. Guard Vernon Davis is third in forever, and he gets burnt. And then also, we made Alex Smith like a Hall of Famer on that last drive.
If Alex Smith would go into the Hall of Very Good, I would say, give me that film that day.
But David, if you're truly objective, when we won the Super Bowl after the 2009 season, which would be 10, then the next year, no. But the following year would have been the 2012 Super Bowl, not the following year, the year after, the 11th season. So we'd have won, lost one, and then Nola no call. The Nola no call, you got to be freaking kidding me. I'm going to tell you why I think we'd have won the Super Bowl then. The Rams lost to the Patriots 13-3. We'd have scored more than freaking 3 points. I guarantee you. That's probably one of the most boring, worst Super Bowls ever. 13-3? Mike, think about that.
And even the Patriots that day, they didn't play really well.
No, the Saints, I'm telling you.
The Saints had a shot at that year, but then you wouldn't have had one before or after.
Yeah, well, we would have been a better representative than the Rams. But if your stars were aligned under Drew Brees and Sean Payton, 15, 16 years, you look all that. No. The Saints should have went to three Super Bowls instead of winning only one.
That 2011, think about
the best team.
Drew Brees was in his prime.
Oh, no.
In 2011.
We became overtake Kurt Warner and the Rams. We were the new greatest show on turf.
And they were humming on offense.
And then Peyton Manning and the Broncos ended up beating us after that.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break.